Hey folks, as we head into this Sunday, it's a very special Sunday of the calendar year, the time when we celebrate Father's Day. We celebrate fathers all around the world, and those that are special fathers within your life, I trust and pray that you're making some plans by which to be able to do that. So as I thought about that, and as we headed into this this particular weekend, I want us to look at some passages that come out of Luke's Gospel in chapter 15. And I want us to look at what are the qualities of a really good father. So grab that Bible, come on back, turn it to Luke chapter 15. I'll see you in just a second. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I'm tickled to death that you have chosen to join us for today's Bible study. A moment ago, I mentioned that we're heading into a special weekend on the calendar, the time when we celebrate Father's Day. Now, many of you know, this is going to be a different Father's Day in my life. For the first time in my whole life, this coming Sunday will be the time when I won't get a chance to talk to my father. I won't have the opportunity to call him up and just to tell him how much I love him. But as I thought about that, you know, I'd always thought about that in the past. I thought about those that their fathers are no longer with them. Their fathers have gone on to be with the Lord. And I thought that Father's Day for a lot of folks is a pretty tough day. As I mentioned, I lost my dad back in December of this past year. So this year is going to be a little bit different for me. But as I pondered my relationship with my own father, I was drawn to this particular text that we're going to look at today. And it's probably a familiar text to many of you. But today I want us to pause and look at what are the qualities of a good father. You know, when we look at the passage we're going to look at today, this is one of my favorite fathers in the Bible. He was chosen by Jesus to illustrate the parallel between a good earthly father and our heavenly father. So this must be the ideal earthly father for us to study today. So if you have your Bible, Luke's Gospel chapter 15, we're going to begin reading at verse 11. That's Luke's Gospel chapter 15. We're going to begin reading at verse 11. It says, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Verse 14, but when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he rose and came to his father, but when he was still a great ways off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Verse 25, now his older brother was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in, and therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered, and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, again, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts in a very special way. Lord, I pray that as we spend this time in your word, you will truly help us to understand our responsibilities toward not only you, but Lord, our responsibility towards those that you have blessed us with in our lives by the way of children. Lord, I pray for the dads all over that will be listening to this message today. I pray that they will take heed to what the word says, and that, Father, as they have the opportunity to stand before you, that they will hear the words, "Well done, you were a good father. You led your children in my path." So, Father, right now, again, be with this your servant, that you and you alone would truly be high and lifted up. And, Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Yeah, I mentioned just a moment ago that this is, one of my favorite fathers to really study and to look at. Because this was a guy that was a father of two sons who both were prodigal for a while. Now we've probably heard that term prodigal before. It means that they were wayward. They weren't doing what was right. And so actually, when we look at this particular passage, here was a father who both of his sons were prodigal for a period of time. Now, the younger was prodigal in the fact that that he chose the pleasures of sin over what was right. You know, he went basically to his dad and he said, "Dad, you know, I want you to go ahead and give me my inheritance that I can just go ahead and have it now. I don't want to wait until you die." Now, here's an interesting thing that a lot of people don't know about the culture of that particular day. For this young son to have done that was basically for him to go and say to his dad, "Yeah, I wish you were dead, because if you were dead, I would have the inheritance that would be coming to me." And legally, it was recognized as such. So when the father actually gave to his younger son the portion of what would essentially have been willed to him later on in life, there was a legal, it was legal that the son had no more rights to the father whatsoever. In other words, the son had just basically cut him off, and it would be like saying, "Dad, you know, I want you to give me what's coming to me, and I never ever want to see you again." You know, it's the same as if you were dead, and that's the best way to say it. Now, that was what was culturally relevant at that time. So we see here was a younger son who was prodigal or wayward in choosing the pleasures of sin over doing what's right. But then you had the older brother. The older brother was wayward or prodigal in choosing the pride of self. You know, he looked at that situation. And it's so ironic that when I talk about this, I think that there's every family that goes through this. You know, there's a time when I've talked to those that said, for lack of a better word, they might not have come out and said it this way, but they say, "Well, you know what? I know I have a brother or a sister, and they get treated better than I do. Mom and Dad look after them and care for them and take care of them and give them money and give them possessions and all these things. And then, you know, I don't see any of that." So it almost looks like one is favored over the other. And that's kind of what happened with this older brother when his younger brother came home and he saw the celebration that was taking place. It was one of his circumstances and situations where he's like, "Hey, man, what's going on here? You know, I can't believe that after what he did to you, you're receiving him back as such." Now, because the father was what he was, then the prodigal became what he should be. I love to be able to say that way, because notice that. Well, let me say it again. Because the father was what he was, being a good godly man, leading his children in the right path. Because he was what he should be, then the prodigal, the one who went wayward, actually became what he should have been all along. The younger son winds up returning, and then the older son's decision was to just kind of push away from him. But let's talk for just a minute about what kind of father that he really was. You know, I said before that You know, I know what my relationship with my dad was like, and I can say that right now, I am grateful that knowing that my, first of all, knowing that my dad's in heaven, knowing that I didn't say goodbye to him in December, but rather I'll see you later. You know, I know I'm going to see him again in that place called heaven. But you know what the interesting part about it is? I didn't have any regrets. I don't sit back and say to myself, you know, I wish I would have done this or I wish I would have said these things. Dad and I had a great relationship. You know, he was my father first and foremost, but yet he also became my friend. He was a leader when he needed to be. When I was a child, he taught me in the ways of the Lord. And as I got older, he became my friend. You know, there comes a point in time when the teaching is essentially over. Now, don't get me wrong in saying that. I know that you can still learn and glean from experience from a father or from somebody that is older in your life. But that those impressionable times of a younger person, you only have a small window of opportunity to raise them in what is important and what is right. So what were the qualities of this particular father that we should emulate today as we go forward? Well, first of all, this was an approachable father. In verses 12 through 18 of our text, you know, it would seem that we get a little bit of family history. It seems that the mother of the boys is no longer in the picture. She probably had died or passed away, you know, perhaps when she was giving birth to the younger son. But she's not in the picture that we read here in the Bible. So these boys didn't have a nurturing motherly influence, at least at the time that we read about it in the scripture. Yeah, perhaps here was the father, this man who had stood at a graveside with his two boys and said, "Lord, you're going to have to help me with this because I'm going to have to raise these two boys on my own." So I'm assuming that there was probably some heartache along the way in this family. Now, I am speculating that part of it. The thing I'm not speculating is the fact that we don't see anything about mom in this particular passage of Scripture. Now, the text also gives us an indication that this was a father who had some wealth. Now, what would lead me to believe that relative to our Scripture? Well, it says that this was a man who had servants. Well, only the wealthy were going to be those who had servants. You know, remember what it says? It says that when the older brother was out in the field, it says he approached one of the servants and asked him what was taking place or what was going on at the house. So this is very indicative of the fact that this was a family that had, you know, had some money, probably had a decent lifestyle along the way. Now, you know, when we sit there and we think about it, notice what we're talking about. We're talking about a father that is approachable. And then we see this young son who had some dreams. He had dreamed of the far country. He had dreamed of what it was like maybe to be somewhere else or to be in some other sort of situation than he was in at that particular point in time. I would be willing to say that the younger son did not realize how good that he had it in his father's household. That was one of the things that you can really see, particularly as the passage goes on and when it says that he finds himself in a hog pen and he's saying, "Man, how many of the servants of my father's house have enough to eat and yet I'm sitting out here starving?" Yeah, you know, how many times have we thought the grass was going to be greener on the other side of the field only to realize that when you get to the other side of the field, it's not? So here was a young son. He had these dreams. He dreamed of the faraway country. Now, I've often considered that and I thought, well, you know, how would you know, in today's day and age, how would a younger son maybe have gone about what he did? Well, you know, some might have just waited until nightfall and everybody was asleep and then slipped off in the night and ran away or left a note to some sort saying, you know, what he was doing. Now, others might have asked another to intercede. "Hey, how about coming in and helping me talk to Dad and telling him that these are the things that I want?" But yet, this son, this younger son, was different. This was a younger son that feels that he can come right to his father. Yeah, he says to him, he basically went to his dad and he said, "Dad, I want you to give me what's coming to me because this is what I want to go and do." So obviously, this was a very approachable father. Dads all over the world today, I want to ask you this question: are you an approachable father to your children? Yeah, do they feel that they can come to you with their questions, their circumstances, no matter what? Do you have that kind of relationship where even if it's something you don't want to hear, that you will look at it from a spiritual mindset, that you will look at it as a this is my child mindset? Now, I got to make sure I put a caveat in there. That doesn't mean that you always agree with them. You can disagree, and I think there are times when you need to stand up and be a parent. You know, I don't see a lot of that happening in our society today. Sometimes, mom and dad, you need to learn how to tell your children no for their own good and for their own sake. But yet the bottom line is that the father that we're looking at today in our text was one who was very approachable. And I want you to understand this. Our Heavenly Father is also approachable. No matter what you've done, no matter what situation or position that you are in, you can come to Him just as you are. I love one of the great Baptist invitation hymns that's called Just As I Am. And that's the way our Heavenly Father wants you to approach Him. Don't think that as you do, you're going to be telling Him anything new. Don't think that you're going to be surprising God when you come to Him with what your circumstances and situations are, because He already knows. I don't know why we can't get that through our heads. God already knows what's going on in our lives. He already knows where we are spiritually. He knows where we are physically. He knows where we are emotionally. And you can go to Him. He is an approachable Father. Now, it was interesting that we read about the far country. And then the text tells us that not only did he just go into a far country, it wasn't that he just wanted to get away and try to start him a life and make it new and he was doing things the way that he should have been. No, the text tells us that he went into the far country and brought about riotous living. You know, that's not exactly how we would speak in 2024, but we understand what riotous living means. He was living in rebellion, okay? You know, he maybe dreamed of great tasks, you know. Maybe his dreams were that he would go to a far country and lasso the moon and pull it down. He was going to do all these great and wonderful things. So he dreamed of a great task, but what he found was great temptation. Maybe his dream was of adventure, but instead what he found was agony. Maybe he dreamed that he would be a person of prestige, but instead what he found was poverty. How many times in life do we find ourselves in that same sort of situation? We have hopes, we have dreams, we have all these things that we aspire to do and be and become, and yet life just slaps us right in the face. Yeah, here's a younger son who maybe dreamed of romance, but instead what he found was old filthy rags. Okay, maybe he dreamed of happiness, but instead he found himself feeding the hogs. I love that particular passage where it talks about how he came to himself. You know, how many times that, to me what that means is that he had all these hopes and all these dreams, and finally, yeah, he looked at himself and he said, yeah, I'm going to make a comparison to where I am today and what it was like and what I left from my father's house. And to him, when he weighed those two things out, there was zero comparison whatsoever. In fact, he said, how many of the servants of my father's house have it better off than what I have right now? You know, I've tried this thing and it didn't work out. You know, those dreams of happiness turned into feeding the hogs. Okay? So this was a father who was approachable even from the pig pen. I love to say it that way. Even from the pig pen. How did he know that? What did the text tell us? The text said that this younger son, when he came to himself, he pondered these things, he thought them over, and he began to even rehearse what he would say to him. He would say, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and I have sinned against you. He was beginning to think about what he would say. Well, why would he begin to think about what he was going to say unless he was going to go back to his father, his earthly father, who was very approachable? So this was a father who was approachable even from the pig pen, because the son said this. He said, after he pondered it, he said, I will arise and go to my father. Listen, I pray that that's you today. If you find yourself in the hog pen of life, I want you to know that the Father, your Heavenly Father, is approachable. So I pray that he will have gotten a hold of your heart, even in the midst of this message, and that you will have the courage to say from the pig pen that is your life, I will arise and I will go to my father. I will go see him. I will go talk to him. I will seek counsel from him. I will seek love from him. You know, the prodigal did that. Can you do that? So we're reading about in our text today, a father who was approachable, but it was also a father whose son, in his son's mind, was associated with heaven. And I think that's critical. Look at verse 18 with me, if you would. Verse 18 says this. He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So the young son realized what he had done. He realized the implication of what he said when he said to his father, please give me my inheritance, I will go. So he wasn't necessarily going back to his father to say, okay, look, I messed up, Dad. I was wrong. You know, my thoughts, my hopes, my dreams, all those were shattered. I want to know if I could come back home. You know, that's not what he was going to do. He was going to his dad to ask his dad for a job. You know, when he said, you know, notice what he said in that verse 19. You know, when you go back to it, it says, make me like one of your hired servants. Dad, I need a job, man. The life out here is horrible. I just need a job. I know I'm not worthy to come back as your son, but man, I sure need a job so that I can at least have food, you know, on the table and shoes on my feet. So for this particular son, as he pondered and thought about his father, he viewed his father as one who was associated with heaven. Notice what he said. He said, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Now, when he thought of heaven, he thought of his father. Think about that for a minute. You know, that's one of the things I'm glad to be able to say today, that when I think about my dad, heaven is the first thought that I think of. You know, just like this young guy, even though his dad was still alive in this situation, even though legally he wished that he was dead by asking what he asked, his father and heaven still had that parallel together. When he thought of his father, he thought of heaven. You know, he could not be reminded of God without remembering his father and what his father had done in his life and how he raised him and the things that he gave him, the way that he took care of him and the influence that he had. You know, his father surely was a man who walked with God. Let me ask you this, dads. Are you a man who walks with God that when your children, your sons and your daughters think about you, they also think about heaven? You know, when they look at you, or one of the descriptors that they give for you is simply this. He was a godly man. He was a believer. He walked with God. And not only did he walk with God, his life emulated that, and he passed that down to us. Now, folks, you can't pass salvation down, but you can pass down what is important. I have said this many, many, many times. And dads, listen to me very closely today. If it's not important to you and your life, it will not be important to your children and their lives, no matter what that may be. But that does include spirituality. That does include things like church. Listen, if church is not important enough for you to attend, then your children aren't going to attend. You are being a role model for them. Dads, it's time to step up and be godly men. I can't tell you how many times over the years somebody has come to me and they're like, preacher, I just don't understand why my children don't want to have anything to do with church now that they're grown. Why don't they want to have anything to do with spiritual things? And I'm sitting there going, listen, man, you don't have to be Jim Dobson with Focus on the Family to tell you this one. It wasn't important to you in the formidable years of their lives. You didn't bring them to church. They didn't see you going. You didn't live the example before them that said that Christianity and discipleship and learning about the Lord and growing in His grace, you didn't say that was important by the way that you lived your life. So because it wasn't important to you back then, it is not important to them right now. So I think about this father, the man who walked with God, the man who had impressed upon his son the ways of God that he couldn't escape it. Okay, this was a father at prayer, in devotion, in a reverent walk. He had modeled this before his boys. He had modeled this to his children. Are you modeling that before your children? Okay, are you being an example to them? You know, his father was godly. How about you? I mean, one of the things I can still remember that when I was growing up, every night, you know, we would, before we would go to bed, we would all meet in my mom and dad's bedroom, and we had a time of devotions. It wasn't anything that was long, but it was a time where there was scripture, there was a biblical passage, there was some commentary about that biblical passage. And then we had an opportunity to have prayer, and then we went off to bed. That was modeled in my life. Now, I know maybe some of you are sitting back saying, well, that wasn't modeled in my life. Well, if it wasn't modeled in your life, change that dynamic for your family as you go forward in time. Now, how do you change that? You start to do the things that weren't done for you. You start to be that influence for your children. You start to be the one that prays for and with them. You be the one that does the devotions with them. You be reverent in your walk, and that in and of itself is going to be a huge example to your children. You know, when we look at this father, it's very easy to see he was a godly father. My question again, how about you? So we see all kinds of things about this father. Another thing we see about him was this was a father who was affectionate. In verse 20, it talks about how when the prodigal son was returning, it said the father saw him afar off, and it says he ran and fell on his neck, and he kissed him. Okay? Now, one of the things you have to understand about culture and history of that day was that here was a wealthy man, because we talked about the servants, the different things. Here was a man who was continually looking for his son. He wanted him to return. And when he saw him, it says that he ran out to him. It says that he fell on his neck and he kissed him. Well, this was a noble man, okay? Noblemen in that day and in that culture didn't run. For him to even run was him to be breaking the rule of what a nobleman was. But yet he loved his son, and he ran out to meet him. Folks, in the same way that if you are that wayward son, when you begin to return to the Father, I will make you two promises. Number one, he's already looking for you to come over the horizon. And number two, when he sees you, he is going to run and he is going to meet you. Those are two things at this point I will promise you, because God's Word promises that. Okay? You know, it's nonsense today that manhood calls for coldness. For some odd reason, you know, today's society says, hey, you got to be Mr. Tough Guy, and you got to be have coldness in your heart or in your life, not only towards people around you, but towards your children. Folks, that's crazy. You know, this was an affectionate father. Our Heavenly Father is an affectionate father. You know, think about the look of love. The Father had been watching for him the same way the Heavenly Father is watching for you if you're wayward. He ran out to meet him. I like what C.H. Spurgeon says. C.H. Spurgeon said, out of breath, but not out of love when he reached his son. Think about that for a minute. Out of breath, but not out of love. You see, his son was returning. You know, the time away had made no difference in how the father felt about the son. Even through the midst of the heartache and the heartbreak of the approach of the son asking for what he asked for, even though the father's heart was broken, he wasn't there to try to get even. He wasn't there to say, I told you so. You know, he was there looking for the son. That time that the son had been away from him made no difference in his love for him. You know, I think about what it must have been like as this young prodigal had been in the, you know, feeding the hogs in the hog pen. I understand if you grew up on a farm, you know the smell of hogs is not a very sweet smell. But yeah, imagine as this father grabbed a hold of his son and he wrapped him up, loved him, and kissed his neck. The smell of swine was all over him. The pigs, the pig manure, just the essence of the farm. But that made no difference to the father. He looked all the way past that because he loved his son. The rags of clothing that he was wearing made no difference. Nor did the fact that the son showed up with empty pockets. He had blown everything that was the inheritance that his father had left him. None of that mattered to the father. The only thing that mattered was his son, whom he loved dearly, had come home. And the same holds forth for you and I today with our Heavenly Father. You know what? It doesn't matter what you smell like. It doesn't matter what you dress like. It doesn't matter whether your pockets are empty. The Father wants you to come home. Can you do that? Okay, think about this as well. This was also a father who was assuring to both. Now, we know what happened with the other son as they were there. Notice what the father said. You know, the younger son was coming, and basically he was asking for a job, you know. And yet the father said this. He said, bring forth the best robe. Yeah, get a ring and put it on his finger. He says, my son. He didn't say my servant. He said, my son who was lost is now found. He has come home. You see, he wasn't just given a job as a servant. He was restored to the sonship. You see, I say restored to sonship because in the son's mind, he had cut that and severed that relationship. In the father's mind, he was always his son. And the same holds true in our spiritual lives. You may feel like you've been that wayward son. God has always loved you. Even through the pig pen, will you get up, will you come forth? And when you come home, you know what he's going to say? He's not going to say, well, I'm going to put you in the back of the line. He's not going to say, I told you so. He's going to say, bring a robe and put it on him. Get the ring, put it on his finger, and let's kill the fatted calf because my son that was lost is now found. He was wayward, now he has come home. You see, you know, father, listen, if you're a dad today and you're going through that, there's problems, listen, take those problems to God the Father, because he is the one who can not only take them, he's the one who can take care of them, okay? Let me just say this. Maybe you find yourself in one of the positions, whether it's either the prodigal son or maybe even this loving father. But I will say this, that no matter which one you are, your failures have not moved you away from the love of your Heavenly Father. And because of that, you can return to him. Please hear me on that. Your failures have not moved you away from his love. Return to him. Would you do that today? Listen, I love what we see and what we read so many times. You can come to the Heavenly Father just like you are. And my question is today, are you like him? You know, as I think about those qualities of a father, I think about what we have discussed in our text today. He was an approachable father. You know, think about it for a minute. Are you approachable, Dad? Yeah, he was a father whose son, in his mind, was associated with heaven. When your children look at you, do they say, you know what, above all things, my dad is a godly man. He walks with the Lord. By the way, if you're just a Sunday Christian, your children know that. They can see right through that. They're not dumb. They can figure it out. They realize what's really important to you, and they realize if you're just putting on airs with what you're doing. So the question was, here was a father who was associated with heaven in the minds of his children, and it was also a father who was affectionate. Where do you fall on the qualities of these things that we have looked at as far as the qualities of a good father? You know what? Maybe there are some things that you need to correct in your life today. Maybe there are some things that, Dad, you've sat back and said, you know, I've missed the mark. Well, it's not too late. You can call on the Lord. You can say, Lord, look, I have failed you in these areas. I myself have been a wayward individual. I'm returning to you. Help me, Father, to be the example to my children that I need to be. May they see you. May they see Christ in me. And Lord, that's what will change them, not only for the rest of their life here, but for all of eternity. You know what? Maybe today you're that prodigal. Maybe you're the one that has come to yourself today in the hog pen, and you realize it is time to get up. It is time to go home. Let me encourage you, get up right now. Get up in prayer. Go back to your Heavenly Father. Maybe some of you need to get up and go back to your earthly father. Maybe there's some forgiveness that needs to happen along the way so that you, like me, when the time comes that the Lord calls them home, I can sit back and say with no regrets, I love my dad. He loved me back. There was nothing errant between us, and we love.